In Like Flynn, written by Reese Bowen and read by Nicola Barber.
Chapter 1.
Spring? Was there any spring this year?
The man in the jaunty brown derby asked.
Oh, that's right. I remember. It was on a Wednesday, wasn't it?
This remark produced titters of laughter from the women standing in line at Giacomini's Fine Foods. The speaker was the only man in the store, other than old Mr. Giacomini behind the counter. He stood head and shoulders taller than the rest of us, and his presence had caused quite a stir. It was unusual to see a man in a grocer's shop, seeing that cooking was women's work. He was well turned out, too, with a smart houndstooth jacket, white spats and well-polished shoes, unlike the short, round peasant types who frequented this little store in what was still mainly an Italian neighbourhood just south of Washington Square. However, he seemed quite happy to join in the chit-chat as we waited our turn to be served. "He's right," the woman ahead of me said, nodding her head. "There was only one spring-like day that I remember this year. In my recollection, we had howling gales until the middle of April."
"Then overnight it got hotter than Hades,"
the man finished for her. There was general agreement to this last remark, although there was also a gasp from some of the ladies at this almost cuss word. It had been a terrible spring, followed by a hot spell for which we were unprepared. Usually I didn't mind waiting in line at Giacomini's cramped little store, where the smell of spices and herbs stirred half-forgotten childhood memories. But today, it was almost too hot to breathe, and the smells were overpowering, especially when mixed with the not-so-pleasant odours of stale perspiration and garlic.
"They say there's typhoid over on the Lower East Side," one woman said, lowering her voice.
"You wouldn't catch me going over there, even when there's no epidemic," another woman muttered. "Packed in like sardines they are in those tenements, and they never wash. Serve them right if they get sick."
Mr. Giacomini poured sugar into a paper triangle, twisted it shut, and handed it to the woman at the front of the line.
"Anything else then, signora? That will be $1.45, please."
Money exchanged hands. The stout lady loaded her purchases into her basket, then attempted to squeeze past us down the narrow centre aisle. Good-natured chuckles were exchanged as close contact couldn't be avoided. As each person in turn attempted to flatten herself against the bins and shelves, I saw something I could scarcely believe. That man had reached into the open basket of the woman just behind him in line and taken her purse. My heart started racing. I wondered if I had imagined it and what I should do next. He was clearly too big and strong for any of us to tackle. The line moved forward. The next customer made her purchases. I had to act soon, or the man would reach the front of the line and be out of there before the poor woman discovered her purse was missing. I couldn't just stand there and do nothing. It went against my nature, even though similar bold and imprudent actions had landed me in hot water more than once in my life. I leaned across to the woman and tugged on her arm. She turned and stared at me in surprise.
"That man just stole your purse," I whispered.
She looked at me incredulously, then down at her basket.
"You're right, it's gone," she whispered back in a horrified voice. "Are you sure he took it?"
I nodded.
"I saw him. What should I do?"
She turned to stare up at the big fellow.
"You stay where you are. I'll go and find a constable and we'll have him trapped like a rat."
Before she could answer, I muttered an excuse about leaving my shopping list at home. Then I pushed my way out of the store and ran all the way to Washington Square. There were always policemen to be found on the south side of the square, because that was the home of New York University, and students were known to be of unpredictable behaviour. I found one easily enough.
"Come quickly," I urged. "I've just witnessed a man stealing a lady's purse. If we hurry, he'll still be in the store."
"Looks like another pickpocket, Bill,"
he called to another constable who was standing across the street.
"Back in a jiffy. Listen for my whistle in case I have trouble with him. Is it far, miss?"
"Giacomini's on Thompson. Hurry, before he gets away."
I fought back the desire to grab his arm and drag him, but he set off with me willingly enough at a trot,